Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Mother's Day. I want you to take your Bible, if you have a copy of God's Word, look with me in 1 Kings chapter 17. Today I'm preaching on this subject, superhero mom. And you know, it's no secret. Moms have superpowers. They have the power to do all kinds of things. They can be in two or three places at once sometimes. They have that type of superpower. They have the power to look through walls. I mean, they have X-ray vision so that they can see what their kids are doing, even when their kids don't think that mom can see them. They have power in their kisses. They can kiss and cause a skint knee to no longer hurt and even take away the pain of a broken heart. And moms have the superpower to answer some of the hardest questions that anybody ever has to answer. You know, moms get asked all kinds of things, and sometimes the questions they have would perplex the ordinary mortal, but mom knows how to answer that question. I'll tell you about a mom who had to answer a really hard question one day. Her name is Katina, and she had three children, two little boys, two younger boys, and then a four-year-old daughter. The daughter was adopted, and she was standing next to her mom one day, looking up at mom with tears in her eyes. Her two younger brothers were there pulling on their mother's clothes, trying to get her to do something, and yet she looked down and saw her daughter crying. And so Katina said, "Honey, what's on your mind?" And she said, "Mommy, why couldn't I grow in your tummy like my two brothers did?" And when Katina heard that question, it almost made her cry. So she sort of had to choke back her tears, but she gave her daughter this answer. She said, "Well, honey, I went to the doctor, and my doctor told me that I couldn't grow a baby in my tummy. And so your daddy and I decided that we were going to adopt a baby, and that baby is you." She said, "I'm your mommy because God chose me to be your mommy." Katina gave the best answer she could and sort of held her breath, waiting on the next question. Her daughter looked up at her and asked her next question, which was, "Mommy, can I have some ice cream?" And Katina breathed a sigh of relief. But moms really do have superpowers. I want us to look today at the Word of God at a mom who became a superhero, not because of anything about her past or even what she was experiencing in the moments that we're going to read, but because she put faith in God, this woman became a superhero mom. We don't know her name, but I promise we'll never forget her story. When we come to 1 Kings chapter 17, the prophet Elijah appears on the scene in Israel. He sort of appears out of nowhere, and he comes into the courts of King Ahab of Israel, a wicked king. The Bible says he was the most wicked king who ever ruled over Israel. And Ahab, as you may remember, was married to Jezebel, and she was a terribly wicked, idolatrous woman, just a mean woman. And she stirred up Ahab to do all kinds of evil things and to lead the people of Israel into evil. And so Elijah shows up and comes before Ahab and says, "It's not going to rain anymore. There's not going to be any more rain. There's not going to be any more dew until the Lord changes or until the Lord tells me to do something different. There's not going to be any more rain in Israel." And so there was this drought. Well, Elijah prophesied the drought, but then Elijah had to deal with the drought himself. And so God took him to a brook called Cherith. And there at that place, he drank the water from the brook, and every day the Bible says ravens would bring Elijah food to eat. But eventually that brook ran dry, and God sent Elijah to an unusual place to find an unusual person who provided for him in an incredible way. So we begin reading in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible says this: "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there.'" Now, I'll stop right there. Zarephath was not part of Israel. Zarephath was pagan territory. It was Gentile territory. And then the Bible says, "Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon." This is even more surprising because Sidon was the home place of Jezebel, the wicked woman that Elijah was trying to get away from. So he went to an unusual place. "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to bring it, he called to her as she was going to bring it. He called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of God. Now I want us to look at the story of this widowed mom, this mom who became a superhero through her faith in God. And I want you to think with me about three aspects of her faith in the Lord. First of all, I want you to think with me about her desperate need. Her desperate need. The Bible says that Elijah came to Zarephath, and as he came there, verse 10 says, he came to the gate of the city, and behold, that word behold means surprise. This was a surprise. Surprise, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now, God had already told Elijah that he was going to provide for him through a widow in Zarephath, but surely Elijah thought, well, this is going to be a wealthy widow. This is going to be a widow who has enough to be able to share with me. But he got there. When he got to the entrance of the city, he finds this widow who is gathering sticks, gathering twigs. And he could tell instantly that the widow that God had commanded and that God had prepared to provide for him was not a wealthy mother at all. She was someone who had very, very little. She was gathering sticks. Widows were usually very poor. And when there was a drought or a famine, it usually hit them first. They were the first ones to feel the effects and to go without food. And so here she is gathering these sticks. And the Bible says that Elijah called her and said to her, bring me just some water in a little vessel. And she evidently was willing to do that, because as she was going, he called out to her and asked her for something else. He says, hey, while you're going, bring me just a piece of bread so that I'll have something to eat. Then she says something that shows the depth and the desperation of her need. Look in verse 12 of the text. The Bible says, she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. I have only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. Just a little bit of flour, just a few drops of oil in a jug. I'm going home with these sticks that I'm gathering, and I'm going to go in, I'm going to prepare the flour and the oil and sort of put something together for myself and my son. That was her plan, to go home into the kitchen and cook this meal. Now, many times, in fact, most of the time, when families are gathered together in the kitchen, when moms and kids are cooking, it's a happy time. I can think of so many times that I came into the kitchen when Joshua, our son, was little, and there was Joshua and there was Michelle, and they were working on something in the kitchen. Maybe they were baking chocolate chip cookies, or maybe they were making brownies, or maybe they were getting a pizza ready, or something that they were doing. And it was always a happy time for her and for him. And maybe during these days, you've had some happy times in your family, gathered around in the kitchen, mom and kids and maybe dad too, and everybody's just working and doing things, a happy time as a family in the kitchen cooking. But this was not going to be a happy time. This was going to be a heartbreaking time. This woman was coming home with a few twigs to take a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil to make them into small cakes, to build a little fire with those twigs, and over that fire to bake those cakes so that she and her son could eat a last meal. And then she would just be with him as together they starved and died. She was in desperate need. But here's what I want you to think about. God saw her in her need. God not only saw her in her need, God cared about her in her need. God not only cared about her in her need, he chose her for a very special task in the middle of her need. And he used her in her need to be a blessing to someone else. Maybe you're going through a time of great need right now. And maybe you feel desperation because of the need you're experiencing. But I promise you this, our God is able to see you in your need, to meet your need, and the Bible promises that he will supply your need. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's a promise that God makes to us as believers. In Christ, God supplies. That word supply means to fill up. He fills up every need that we have according to his riches and glory, according to his great wealth as the sovereign God of all of the universe. He supplies all our need. And you can count on that today. You may be a mom going through a time of emotional need. Maybe you feel unloved or unappreciated. Maybe you just feel discouraged. God is able to fill up that need and meet that need. Or you may be going through a time of physical need. Maybe right now you're going through illness or you're just tired and fatigued and worn out. God can meet that need and strengthen you physically and heal you physically. He's able to meet all of your needs. Maybe you're going through a time of a need in your family. People just aren't getting along the way you would like to see them get along. Or maybe you've got kids who are going in a direction you would never choose for them. God is able to meet that need. Maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you've lost your job or your husband's been laid off or you wonder how you're going to make it as we're going through some of the crises that we're going through right now. Whatever your need is, God sees your need. He knows your need. He cares about your need. He can meet your deepest need. And the good news is he can use you even at your point of desperate need to be a blessing to others as you trust him and obey him. And that brings us to a second aspect of this mom's faith. Secondly, I want you to think with me about her simple trust. Her simple trust. And so this widowed mother tells Elijah, "Hey, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to take these sticks. I got a little flour. I got a little bit of oil. I'm going to make what I can make. My son and I are going to eat it. And then we're going to wait to die." And then Elijah says something to her that doesn't make any sense. Look in verse 13 of the text. The Bible says, "Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear.'" First of all, stop being afraid. Well, that didn't make any sense. She had every reason to be afraid. But he said, "Stop being afraid. Do not fear." And then he says this, "Go and do as you have said." Go home, make the fire, mix together the oil and the flour, do all those things. But first, he says, "Make a little cake and bring it to me. And after I've had my cake, then go back and make something for your son and for yourself." That was an audacious thing to say. In fact, it wasn't just audacious. It was rude and offensive and insensitive, unless you realize this one thing. Elijah wasn't simply speaking to her as a man. He was the man of God. He was God's representative. He was the prophet of God. He was God's spokesman. And so what he was telling her to do had to do with what God wanted her to do. He was calling her in the middle of her great need to trust in God. Notice what he says in verse 14. Here's the promise that God made. "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." God made this promise to this widow. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to use what seems like nothing to take care of you and to take care of Elijah the prophet, to take care of you, to take care of your son, to take care of the man of God. I'm going to do that as you trust in me. And she did a hard thing that showed simple trust. Look in verse 15. The Bible says, and she went and did as Elijah said. In my Bible, I've underlined those words in red because they're so central to this passage. She had simple faith that required hard obedience. See, sometimes simple faith in God requires us to do very hard things. It must have been hard. But by faith, she went home. By faith, she made that little cake. By faith, she gave it to Elijah. By faith, she went back and trusted in God to provide for her and her son. She went and did as Elijah said. Her simple trust in God. You know, moms so desperately need, and all of us desperately need, to learn how day by day to place simple trust in our God. Ladies Home Journal did a survey of women and discovered that 85% of the women they surveyed said that being a mom was the greatest experience, the most fulfilling experience in their lives. 85%. But then they looked at the moms and they just began to ask them, well, what's your favorite thing about being a mom? 21% of them said, the greatest thing about being a mom is watching my children grow. About 18% of them said, the greatest thing about being a mom is everything. They just said everything, the good, the bad, you lump it all together. That's my favorite thing about being a mom. 14% of the moms said, my favorite thing about being a mom is the unconditional love of my kids. But then, even so, 70% of these same moms who said that this is the greatest experience in their lives, 70% of them said that being a mom is extremely stressful. And I realize that. I can't realize it the way that moms do. But I know that there is great stress that comes from being a mom. And sometimes that stress comes from that feeling that everything depends on mom. Moms look at their families, they look at their households, they look at what's happening, and they begin to think everything depends on them. And sometimes they think that because we treat them that way. I heard about a teenage daughter who came in to the kitchen on Mother's Day, and there her mother was at the kitchen sink washing the dishes from dinner, and the teenage daughter said, Mom, you shouldn't have to wash dishes on Mother's Day. And her mother was about to give her the dish rag when the daughter added, you can wait and do that tomorrow. So many times, we make it seem like everything depends on moms. But moms, can I tell you something? Everything doesn't depend on you. But God is looking for moms who will depend totally and fully on Him. A simple trust. A trust that requires sometimes very difficult actions and obedience. I love a quote that I read from Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham. They're now both in heaven. But here's what she said about being a mom. She said, as a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and to trust God with the impossible. I love that. Take care of what's possible, but then don't feel like it all depends on you. Trust God with the impossible. Right now, God is looking for moms to say, God, I'm going to trust you with my future. I'm going to trust you with the unknowns. I'm going to trust you with my feelings. I'm going to trust you with my kids. I'm going to trust you with every area of my life. Because as we trust in Him, He takes care of us. And so we see this superhero mom, her desperate need, her simple trust. Then I want you to see a third thing in this text. Think about her great reward. Her great reward. Now continue reading with me in verse 15 of the text. The Bible says, and she went and did as Elijah said. Then look at the last part of the verse. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Think about that. Day after day after day, she'd go to that jar of flour. And she'd reach in, and there'd always be a little bit more flour. Every day she'd pour out more of that oil, and she'd pour out what she thought was the last drop, but there was always a little bit more oil. There was always enough. God always left something at the bottom of that jar or at the bottom of that flask of oil. You know, every now and then my wife will come in and she'll be holding a bag of cookies. And I already know what she's going to say. She comes in, she's holding a bag of cookies, and she'll look at me and she'll say, "Stephen, you left one cookie in this bag." And the reason is because I don't want to take the last cookie. But she said, "Why didn't you just eat the last cookie and throw the bag away?" Maybe I'm the only person that does this. But anyway, she'll say, "There's one cookie in this bag." I can't even blame our son anymore because he's not there. She knows it's me. And I'm tempted to say, "Well, I'm just being biblical," because that's what God did. He always left a little bit more. And it just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. She received a great reward. She trusted God, and God gave her a reward. Look again at the end of verse 15. It says, "She and he and her household ate for many days." Now, I love this. I love something just in the language of the text. Notice how the Bible says. It says, the mom and the prophet who represents God, and then her household ate. So she put the Lord. She and he and her household. She put the Lord in between herself and her household, and God took care of everything. She put the Lord at the center of everything in her family, and God took care of everything, and she reaped a great reward. One of the rewards she reaped was that she and her son continued to live, but then God had an even greater reward for her. If you continue in this chapter, the Bible says that her son, who seems to be her only child, her son suddenly died. Not of starvation, but of something else. Some illness caused him to die. And understandably, she was upset, and she said to Elijah, "Well, did God spare my son from starving just so he could die this way?" And Elijah took that boy into a room by himself and began to cry out for God to restore the boy's life. And the Bible says in verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.'" And so she got an even greater reward. Her son was brought back to life. Her son was resurrected. And then she got an even greater reward, and that reward was she placed her faith in the living God. Remember, Zarephath was Gentile territory. It was pagan territory. She did not know the Lord God. It's amazing that she trusted and obeyed God the way she did, because she didn't really know him. Even when she talks about him to Elijah, she calls him the Lord your God, not the Lord her God. She didn't know God. And yet the Bible says it in verse 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know.'" The word "know" there means to not just know something in your mind, but to know it deep in your heart and your spirit. "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." God brought her to a place of faith as she trusted in the Lord. She trusted God. God gave her a great reward. Somebody has said, when your cupboard is bare, all you need are two ingredients: your obedience and God's omnipotence. And if you mix together your obedience and God's omnipotence, that's the recipe for a miracle. That's certainly what this mom discovered. As she trusted God and obeyed God, God did mighty things in her life, and she saw a great reward. The same thing is true for you. You trust in God. You look to him. Mom, you trust in God even when it's hard, even when the actions that are required to trust him are difficult. You trust in him, and he will give you a great reward. A mom and her son were going into a shop, and they came in there. They were by themselves, no other shoppers in the store. And as they were walking around and looking, the little boy just looked at different things, looked at some candy, and his mom said, well, we can't get you any candy today. We just don't have enough to get you any candy. But they came up to the counter, and the man who ran the shop behind the counter had a big jar of lollipops. And he held them down to the little boy and said, son, just reach in and grab yourself a handful of lollipops. The little boy just stood there. He didn't move. And that wasn't like him. Usually he would have reached out, but he didn't do anything. And the shopkeeper said again, son, just take as many as you want. I'm giving them to you free. Just take as many as you want. Grab yourself a handful. Boy just stood there. Finally, the man that owned the shop reached in, got a whole bunch of lollipops, and gave them to the boy. The boy and his mom walked out. As they were walking down the sidewalk, the mom looked at her son and said, son, why didn't you reach in when the man told you to reach in and get some lollipops? Why didn't you get yourself a handful? The little boy looked up and said, because I knew his hands were a whole lot bigger than mine. Listen, God's hands are so much bigger than yours. And mom, God has the ability to fill your life with everything you need. When you're in a place of desperate need, when you don't know what to do next, you can simply trust in Him, and through Him you'll receive a great reward. By the way, that's the same way we come to Jesus Christ for salvation. We come to Him in our great need. We confess that need to Him. We say, we don't have anything to offer you, Lord. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve death because of my sin. I come to Him in my need, and then He calls for me to simply trust in Him. To trust in Jesus, the price that He paid on the cross, to pay the price for my sin. And through His blood, through faith in His death and His resurrection, He saves me. And through Him, I can receive a great reward. The same thing is true for you. If you've never trusted Jesus today, simply trust in Him, and through Him, you'll have a great reward. Join with me as we pray together. Father in heaven, how we love You and praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. And we thank You, Lord, for the way You multiply that goodness day by day by day. Lord, I pray for moms today. Lord, thank You for our mothers. Thank You, Lord, for the sacrifices they've made. Thank You, Lord, for the love that they have for their children and their families. And thank You, Lord, for the way You show Yourself strong on their behalf. Day by day. I pray, God, that You would encourage, strengthen, and bless moms today. I pray, Lord, that husbands and families, children, sons and daughters would just do something today to encourage, to show appreciation for moms. And then, Lord God, I pray for moms who are experiencing times of need or times of great pain in their lives. Lord, show them that they can depend on You. It doesn't all depend on them. They can depend on You and trust in You. And Father, we thank You that as we trust in You, You bless and You reward our lives. I pray for those who right now who have never trusted Christ as Savior. Show them that today if they call on Your name, You'll give them Your gift of eternal life. We love You, Lord. We praise You, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us today. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And then I also want to remind you that today, if you need somebody to pray with you, and certainly if you need to trust Jesus as your Savior, if you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus to be saved, today is the day you need to call on Him. Today is the day you need to be saved. And we're waiting for you. If you'll call the number that's on the screen, somebody is waiting to talk to you right now and to share with you more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so you can call that number.